down, so that's good.
It's good.
That is good. So the words to the songs are just wonderful, and they kind of review a little bit about the message last week about the gospel, and particularly about the gospel of salvation. Let's talk a little bit about what that is all about. All right. So the gospel. Yes. You can't hear.
It's coming.
Oh, okay. Lights? So be careful, huh?
You got to bring it closer to your mouth.
It's okay.
We need the lights on.
Hello?
Yeah.
Ah, there we go.
There we go. You'll be all right. Better if you jump up and down.
What?
Jump up and down will be better.
You think so?
Yeah, we lights are on.
Okay, lights are on.
Hey.
The sound is on.
All right.
We're all set now, aren't we?
Ready to go.
Okay, so last week we were talking about the gospel, and the gospel being the good news. Good news, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's real good news.
Yes.
About Jesus, and the first four books of the New Testament are all about the life of Jesus. It describes the life of Jesus, and those first four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, are called the Gospels,
mm-hmm.
because it encapsulates the life of Jesus Christ, which is the center of the good news,
mm-hmm.
right? So that was all things we talked about last week, and then there were things that are mentioned in the Bible. It talks about the Gospel of Christ, the Gospel of God, the Gospel of salvation, the Gospel of the Kingdom, the Gospel of peace, the gospel of grace. All of those have something very specific that is emphasized in this gospel, in this good news. Now, before we get started here, you have heard messages about the gospel, because it's always about the gospel when a message comes from anybody. And so you might think, well, I already know this, right? All right, I know this, I know this. But the Lord, every time that He wants to bring a message to a group of people, there's something that's there that's new, there that's deeper, there that makes connection that wasn't made a connection before. And so even though you're going to hear some things that are familiar to you, really be reaching in. We want to have ears to hear what the Spirit, not what Malcolm, but what the Spirit is going to speak today to us. And there's different nuances of things that are going to be said, and it's going to hit some people in one way and other people in a different way. But really, very important for us, right? We shouldn't be just kind of going through the motions. Okay, I come to church, we're going to worship, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to listen to a message, we're going to do all these different things, and then we're going to be out of here, and then our life continues.
Right.
That's not how it should be, right? And I think we understand that. We're pretty much mature people in Christ. We understand that there's a reaching in that has to happen, right? Because there is an enemy of our souls that's looking to rob you and I of everything that he can. Isn't that right? And so there's battle all the time, no matter what. It's not like we have to get all caught up in it, but we have to realize it, and we have to take authority, and we need to say, God, I want everything that you have for me today.
Yes.
And I need it.
Yes.
And I want it.
Yes.
That has to be an attitude of heart. Isn't it right?
Yes.
I'm with the right group of people.
Yes.
Because I know that's how you feel. But it does take that spiritual energy to break through what the enemy's trying to just lay on us. If you're familiar with the Chronicles of Narnia, the silver chair story, Puddle Glum and this little group that's in the underworld, they're mesmerized by the witch that's down there, and everything is kind of, and you have to fight to break through, right?
Yes.
And that's what we have to do really every day with the Lord. There's every single one of us here wants to follow Jesus Christ. There's no question in my mind. Every single person that I'm looking at here, I know that you want that, and I want that. And don't you still find that you don't?
Yeah.
Sometimes?
Yes. Amen.
So this is what we're going to be talking about today. I'm going to be focusing on a particular aspect of the gospel. The gospel there's only one gospel, isn't there?
Yes.
There's one gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The good news, the greatest story ever told that is true, and it encapsulates the whole life of Jesus. And his life, as we're going to see, that is given out to us to experience. Amen?
Yes.
Now, the gospel of salvation was more the focus last week, where we needed to come to the realization that we're sinners. We don't hit the mark. And we needed a Savior. And so Jesus, as the Lamb of God, whose blood washes away our sins, right? Something undeserving. We don't deserve salvation. But God, through His grace, God, through His mercy, gives us that ability if we choose it. Right? And so this is the gospel of salvation. It is about gratitude to God, isn't it?
Yes.
Gratitude that He did what He did for us. And that is a never-ending thing, isn't it?
Yes.
We sin. Many of us in here have been in the Lord for decades. Right? This doesn't get old.
No.
The gratitude and thankfulness to what God did does not get old. And we need to reflect on that, don't we?
Yes. Yes.
But I'm going to go in a slightly different direction, talking about the one gospel. Because the gospel of salvation is one part of it. And there's another gospel, well, another aspect of the gospel that needs to be brought in to our understanding and our experience so that we have a full gospel. And that's the gospel of the kingdom. That's what we're going to be talking about. Any of the time I'm going to preach over the next little bit is going to be about the gospel of the kingdom. Okay? That's where the focus is going to be. But I want you to understand, the gospel of the kingdom doesn't take away from the gospel of salvation. It's not more important, but it is part of the big picture of what the gospel is. The gospel is not only about the wonderful saving aspect of what Jesus did on the cross for us and allowing us access into heaven because of His amazing grace, right? We're saved and we have a purpose here, now. And I'm going to be talking about this over the next number of weeks, or if something else happens and some other people have messages, there might be some little bit of change. But when I'm preaching, it's going to be, the next few times that I preach is going to be about some aspect of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is one of the aspects of the gospel. And the gospel of salvation is one of the aspects of that gospel, but the other aspect is what we're going to talk about today for a little while. All right, would you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4? So we have this aspect. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Let's talk about Jesus. You know, he's our Savior. But we're going to be talking about Jesus as our King. You hear that? Jesus is not only our Savior. There's not anybody here that would argue this. Is there anybody here that would argue? He's not only our Savior, he's our King. Everybody agree?
Yes.
So a king rules a kingdom. Right? It's a royal jurisdiction. If we're part of that kingdom where the king is, and guess what? He's in us, right? Where the king is, he has dominion. He is the king. His law is the ruling law, right? So this is what we're going to be dealing with over the next little bit. Okay, so are you at Matthew chapter 4?
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 17. I'm going to read 17, and then I'm going to jump up to verse 23. So it's going to be Matthew 4, 17, and then 23. Okay, here's what it says. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent." Oh, when you hear the word repent, that means you've got to change your mind about something. The direction you're going in needs you need to stop, and you need to turn around and go in a different direction. Isn't that right? Repent. Turn away. Right? And this is what has to happen for you to be saved, for me to be saved. I've got to realize I'm a sinner. I'm going in the wrong direction. I need to turn to Jesus. I've got to turn to the Savior of my soul. I've got to accept what God provided for me to be able to come into His presence. Yes?
Yes.
Okay? I want you to be engaged here.
All right.
Engaged with this. All right? So when Jesus talks about repenting, this is really opening up the door. He's starting to talk about the fact that people need to turn to God. And specifically, turn to what He was going to do on the cross. But notice what else He says here in verse 17. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, turn to Christ, because guess what? The kingdom of God is near us.
Yes.
We're not going to be able to experience the kingdom of God if we don't repent.
Right.
You get that?
Yes.
And that applies on a number of different levels as we go through here. Okay? So that's verse 17. And then it says this in verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and what?
Preaching
the gospel of the kingdom. So there is a gospel. There's good news about this kingdom. There's great news, good news about that we can be saved. But there's also something else, another aspect of the good news of Jesus Christ is that there is a kingdom that you and I can experience. So there's a gospel of salvation. There's a gospel of the kingdom, where Jesus is not only the Savior of your life, but he's king of your life. And that goes beyond just naming that. Oh, Jesus is my king. Jesus is my Lord. For there to be a real experience of it, we have to go through the process of it. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. All right. So I want to take you to Matthew 24:14 right at the moment. There's some things I'm going to come back to that this talks about there in Matthew 4. And I'm also going to be coming back at the end of things with something from Matthew 24 again. All right, so Matthew 24, verse 14 says this. And this gospel of the kingdom, he doesn't say the gospel, does he?
No.
Does Jesus say, and the gospel will be preached? No. He's very, very specific. He doesn't say the gospel, which would include the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of salvation, the gospel of grace, the gospel of peace, the eternal gospel. He's talking about something very, very specific. One particular aspect of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the gospel of the kingdom.
Yes.
Isn't he?
Yes.
Now we can read that as, oh, it's the gospel. It's just the gospel. And some people only see it as the gospel of salvation, although it isn't the gospel of salvation, it's the gospel of the kingdom. Because there is a difference. The Bible separates the two out. Right?
Yes.
So you understand that, right? Okay. So, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached into all the world for a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. So there is something very specific that Jesus said is going to happen at the end of the age, where there's going to be the gospel of the kingdom that's going to be preached. Now, he preached, as we saw in Matthew 4, he preached the gospel of the kingdom. He was very specific in what he was talking about. He starts out with repentance, turning to God, accepting what God has done, what he was going to do on the cross. But then he goes along and preaches this gospel of the kingdom. Let's find out a little bit more what that really is all about.
Amen.
Okay? That's what we're going to do here today. And the next time, and the next time. Okay? All right. Now, I'm just going to tease you a little bit here, because I'm going to come back to it at the end. But this is one big indication to me that there is going to be an end time revival.
Yes.
That's going to happen before the Lord comes back.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
This is a big, big indication to me that if Jesus is saying that before the end comes, before he comes back, that the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached into all the world as a witness to all the nations. Well, there's something. Well, what is specifically the things that deal with that? Okay? So we're going to talk about that. Okay? All right. So, all right, set that aside. All right, so now, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says this. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Matthew 6:33. Now, so what is very important, if Jesus tells us seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, does that put a priority?
Yes.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
There's a priority,
yes,
for the Christian world who has already embraced the gospel of salvation, right?
Yes.
To now first be seeking the kingdom of God, the kingdom and his righteousness. Isn't that right? And then you notice the two are tied together. The kingdom and righteousness. You're going to see this as we go along here. All right? So there's one aspect. The priority for people that are already Christians is to do what Jesus did. Preach the gospel of salvation. But you also better be preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Yeah?
Yes.
You get this?
Yes.
So as we go along, you're going to become more and more familiar with what this is all about. All right? All right. So let's go to Luke 17, verses 20 and 21. Luke 17, 20 and 21. I'm going to kind of paraphrase. Let's see what they have up here. Oh, no. That's not up there. Okay. Luke 17, verses 20 and 21. Okay? All right. Now, being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming with something observable." What? Oh, I thought it was. What Jesus is talking about here is that the kingdom, when it, as it unfolds, wasn't going to be that observable. It wasn't coming with fanfare. It wasn't coming with him coming back in full power. That's what he's saying there, isn't it? These are Jesus' words. Right? So, it's not coming with observation. Alright, now, verse 21. Go. "No one will say, 'Look here,' or 'Look there.' For you see, the kingdom of God is in you." So, this kingdom is an inner kingdom. It's what has already been placed in our hearts. It is possibility. Keep that in mind. It's possibility. Because we have to engage with it. We have to embrace, just like you and I had to embrace salvation. It's given as a gift, but only those that embraced that as a gift partook in that. Yes? Yes? Come on. Yes?
Amen.
And so, the kingdom is within us. God gives us that as a gift. And now, as we live our lives, we must embrace. And we embrace every day, moment by moment, as we live our lives. And you'll see what I mean here in a little bit. Kingdom of God comes without observation, for the kingdom of God is within you. So, you don't see it right away. There is a time, and this is for later on, where the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, is also going to talk about Jesus coming back again and establishing the messianic kingdom on this earth. But we're in a different phase of the kingdom of God that Jesus is talking about when he says it comes without observation. We obviously know that every eye is going to see him when he comes.
Amen.
And he establishes and he says he's going to sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem, and he's going to rule out of Jerusalem for 1,000 years.
Amen.
Well, that's going to be pretty observable.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
So we're in phase one, aren't we, of the kingdom of God. We get to experience the kingdom of God in our hearts right now.
Yes, yeah.
I know you know this. I know you do. But let God just say yes. You know, this is where we're led by His Spirit, right? Being led by His Spirit, we're walking in the kingdom of God. Every moment, second that we're listening to God, we hear what He tells us to do, we're off doing what he wants us to do, we're being led by His Spirit, we're experiencing the kingdom of God. You know why? Because the King is leading us.
Yes.
Amen.
Because in a kingdom, when the king gives a directive, it's his royal jurisdiction. He says something and the servants obey.
Right.
Yeah.
We're his servants.
Yes.
We're here not to please ourselves. We're here to please him.
Right.
At least we spout that.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
But I know that we all want that.
Mm-hmm.
See? But there is a thing that's going on. Something that Reggie had sent out to some people, and Steve sent something the other day, and it was like, wow, this is really happening. Last week, when the Lord gave me the message about the gospel of salvation, I knew I was going to be talking about the gospel of the kingdom this week, and I already had much of that already, because you've heard about the gospel of the kingdom from every preacher in this room that's ever preached in this sanctuary. There's aspects of the kingdom of God message that has come across to you, right? I think this is why, in to some degree, we're a fairly mature group of Christian people. Because we're not just chewing on, sucking on milk. We're chewing on meat. And this is part of this aspect that
I'm going to get to.
All right. You with me? You see it?
Yeah.
Everybody okay? All right. So I'm going to go to Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. Here's what it says. For the grace of God that brings salvation... What brings salvation?
Grace.
The grace of God. We don't earn it. We don't have the power, the ability to act the way God wants us to so that we can earn our way into heaven. Every person in this room knows that. Don't you? You know it's by grace that we're saved. It's not by work. It's not by our works. It's by grace that we're saved. God gives us ability. Isn't that right?
Yes.
So it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Jesus came. He was the life. He was the Word of God. He came to the earth. The people of his time that were in that area saw him. We have the written gospel that tells us all about it. He's appeared.
Right.
That for anybody to see who wants to see. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Has appeared to all men. Teaching us. Now, we're getting to the second part. We're going from, as I called the gospel of salvation last week, chapter 1, which is the great chapter, because that's what draws you into the story, right? It draws you into the story. But there's more to the story. And here's what this is all about. We're saved for this reason. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Yeah?
Yes.
You've heard this before. Do you think maybe God might be putting a finger on us to make this something that's more real in our life? I think so. I'm convicted over this, where I see, you and I can be too casual. We don't even understand the holiness of God. We can't even come close. And we can just brush off and say, well, I'm saved by grace.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah.
We can miss out on so much. I know I have. So much of what God can do in us and through us. Because we're not taking it as seriously as we need to. Well, I'm just human. I'm just human. And yet, God gives us ability that goes beyond humanness. Jeremy, one says,
"Then we have to want it, though."
That's exactly right. Part of what the message of the kingdom is that God will provide us with the grace, not only for salvation, but the grace to live the life that He wants us to live. And then, if we want it, we can have it. Right?
Yes.
And we can play around in our minds. We can just play around in our minds. Oh, well, this is what I want. But I'll tell you what, I found that in some things, I'd rather do what I want to do.
Yes.
Or when there's some particular thing that you should put away from, but it kind of draws you, and you keep looking over at it, and then you give in. It could be food. It could be any kind of lust, right? Because that's what it's talking about here. To deny different lusts. Well, food, food can be a lust. It can be sexual. It can be pride. Needing to be built up above other people. And we don't even realize how that's interwoven within our human fabric. Because we're Christians and we're not supposed to be like that. So that's not me. And yet, there's a part of that in every single one of us that we need to be on guard about all the time. Not consciously up in front, we drive ourselves crazy. But what I'm talking about is being sensitive in the spirit. Yes?
Yes.
And when you have, like what Joe just said, if you want to serve God, if you really truly want to serve God, He will give you the way to get through anything. Yes. Good and bad, right?
Yes.
So he says here, as I finish this, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus the Messiah. He gave Himself for us. See, we can't forget that, can we? In any message of the kingdom, the message of salvation and the gratitude to God for all that He's done with His grace and His mercy and the peace that He gives us and the abilities to get through this life, we're forever grateful.
Right.
Yeah. So that never leaves. That's all mixed in. But we've got to be people that are serious, not just mouthing it, but are really serious to sense the Spirit of God touching us to change us where we need to change. Yeah?
Yes.
To convict us and we repent because we see what we're really like outside of Him. And we've got to be careful that the enemy, with all this process, this kingdom process where he's the king and we're listening to him and not to ourselves, we can't condemn ourselves in the process of it. See, that's important too. Because the enemy will, when God shows us something about ourselves that isn't so pretty, we can get condemned.
That's right.
The enemy will condemn us. That's not what God wants to do, is it?
No.
He's there to show us things. I've seen this about God so much. He's not afraid to hurt our feelings. He's not afraid to hurt my feelings anyway. I get my feelings hurt a lot. But that's good. Most of the time. Not all the time. But most of the time it is. Because it
depends on your perception.
That's right. It's important
for me to understand that. Like he's telling you that for your own benefit.
For our own benefit.
Then you realize like that's the point, that's the reason. If you just think he's kicking you in the teeth for kicking you in the teeth, then that's not going to do anything.
It's not going to do any good. Because God is a good God, isn't he?
And Malcolm, he loves, he chastises, he disciplines, he corrects those he loves.
Those he loves.
What dad would not do that if they loved their
child?
That's
right. Right.
So if that never happens, you have to start thinking the other way.
Yeah.
You really can't.
Am I his kid? Yeah. Am I his kid?
Right. Right. Yeah. God has that. We give him that right.
Yeah.
Fear will keep us from loving him in his kingdom the way he wants us to love him. And mature love cast out fear.
And mature love does cast out.
To the extent that I desire him, the other lust of life will lessen.
Right.
It's all my choice.
Yeah. It's our choice.
I can't blame it on anybody else. I can't blame it on the pastor or the church.
Nope.
Or on home life or anything. It's up to me. I'll have as much of him as I want today. Or I'll have as little of him. But I have no one to blame but myself.
That's right.
Not to condemn myself, but again, as you and Reggie are saying, it's to teach.
Yes.
It's like, how much do you want me?
Yeah. That's what it comes down to. Really, that's what it comes down to. And it isn't so that we're just obeying to obey. What he does is for our good. There's something great for us on the other side of it. Isn't that great? All right. So just to finish off what he says there in Titus 2:11-14. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus the Messiah, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from what?
All
what?
All
lawlessness or all iniquity. That's what he wants to do with us, right? And purify unto himself a peculiar people. And what are we to be like? Zealous for what?
Even to do
good. Oh, this probably says it different. Zealous for good works is the way that King James said it. Zealous for good works. To do the right thing. Right? I think there's a big difference. We can all be Christians. You know, we're all Christians here. As far as I can tell, we're all Christians here, right?
Yes.
And all across the whole world, there are multitudes upon multitudes of people that name the name of Jesus. And Steve said something the other day, you know, there's the multitudes who, after hearing Jesus, they go away. But the disciples, they hang around. And this whole gospel of the kingdom is really about the disciples. Being a disciple, which I'm going to get to real soon. Okay, all right. So, in fact, I'm going to get to it right now. Matthew 28:19. Everybody knows this. It's the Great Commission. And everybody, not everybody, lots of people teach this as what you're doing is to bring people to Jesus. It's a gospel of salvation, but really that's not what this is saying. That has to be part of it. Because people can't come into the kingdom unless they're saved to begin with.
Right.
But listen what it says in Matthew 28:19. Let's see, is it up there? Go therefore and...
Disciples.
What's it say?
Make
what?
Disciples.
Of all nations.
Of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're not to only bring the gospel of salvation. We're to bring the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus is king. He rules our lives. We need to be disciplined and under his hand and be obedient to what he's telling us to do. That's all part of the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus is the king, not ourselves.
Right.
Amen.
You hear that?
Yeah.
Jesus is the king of our lives, not ourselves. Our lives are not our own, which I'm going to read real soon. Okay? So, and guess what? You and I can't make disciples of the nations if we're not a disciple. You and I can only go take someone as far as we've gone. Isn't that right?
That's true.
So if Jesus is telling us we're to make disciples of the nations, then we better be disciples ourselves. Not just the multitudes, not just the people that casually hear, accept, but go our own way. You hear that? Okay. So, let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. You're staying with me, right? You're staying, you're there. You're hearing what's being said. You're not getting tired in your mind yet. Anybody? Just a little. Just a little. Okay, well, let's what we can do, get the blood flowing. See, I told you, you're right, I got to jump from there. All right, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 say this. Therefore, leaving the elementary principles of the doctrine of Christ. This isn't a put-down of the elementary principles. This is just saying, hey, guess what? There's more than just these things. So, in order to get to those other things, you can't focus only on those elementary principles. You and I have to understand what else there is.
Yes.
And God will give us the ability to handle everything that he gives us. Right? So it says this. Therefore, leaving the elementary principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, on to completion, to complete, to have the full gospel, to be able to give the whole picture to people. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, or faith toward God, or of the doctrine of baptisms, or the laying on of hands, or the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. We're to grow. It's more than the gospel of salvation, because the total gospel, the full gospel, that is the beginning of it. It's so important. We got to keep going back to it because that's where our gratitude is. That's where the fount of grace is that gives us the ability to move on and to recognize that it's not from us, it's him. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Well, we have to keep going. See? All right? So... that's what that was all about. All right, now jump back to Hebrews 5. The last few verses in Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. Because this also really goes with it. I guess I could have done that and then chapter 6, but I didn't. Okay, Hebrews 5, 11 to 14 says this. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing. So, whoever these Hebrews were, their ears weren't really listening. they were kind of dulled here. They either thought they knew, or they weren't interested.
Right.
Right? So he says, you've seen that you're dull of hearing. For when after a time you ought to be teachers, you need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And are become such as need milk, not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. See how righteousness is so tied in to the kingdom? To the word of the kingdom? Right? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Right? Is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Well, the word of righteousness is the word of Jesus being the king in your life. He's the Lord of your life. He's not only your Savior, he's your Lord. You can't just have one part of the picture. Right. You've got to have the whole thing. Right? Strong meat belongs to them that are mature, even of those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, I'm almost done for what I'm going to talk about this week. Next week is, or whatever, I didn't do it again. There's some more. So, this is, who experiences the kingdom? Who actually experiences that? Let's get some parameters here. Not just anybody that names the name of Jesus can experience the kingdom of God. Sorry. And I'll prove to you by scripture. I'm not going to just say something without some scriptural backing, but here we go. Alright? So, first of all, you gotta be born again.
Amen.
Right? You can't experience the kingdom of God unless you're a born-again believer.
Right.
That's Matthew 18, verse 3. It says, unless you be converted and become as children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Or the kingdom of heaven, I think it says. John 3:3 says the same thing. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. So the very first thing that has to happen, and this is why the gospel of salvation is so important, because you can't experience the kingdom of God if you haven't been saved yet.
Right.
You have to be saved in order to see, to experience the kingdom of God. All right? So that's kind of obvious, right? Okay, Matthew 5, verse 3. Okay, Matthew 5, verse 3. And this is the Beatitudes, giving a list of things. This is what it says. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the humble, those who are not so prideful. For theirs is what?
The kingdom
of heaven. In other words, they can enter in. But you can't be a prideful person, and any of us can be prideful. And when we are prideful, we're not moving in the kingdom of God. You can't sense the kingdom of God. Your contact with the Spirit, there's like a plexiglass between you and the Spirit when that happens. Right? You understand that? And we all know this. Whether it's pride or some other little sin or big sin, that's what separates us. It's sin that separates us from God, from the Spirit of God. And so, well, the more we go in that direction, the less experience we have in really knowing Jesus. We're still going to go to heaven at the end of it all, because it's not by works. It's by His grace.
Yes.
But we're missing out on so much right now. And what He wants to do. Right?
Right.
And there's a lot of people that kind of sell themselves out. Oh, well, if I haven't now, I'm going to go to heaven, I'll just do what I want to do now. Oh, well, you can go and do that. And there's all these consequences that are going to happen to you because of your choices. Get back to the choices thing. Right? If you've truly accepted Christ, you're going to want to know more and more about him, aren't you?
Okay.
Yes.
And if you don't, if you want to settle for something less, God will allow you to settle for something less. It's the easy route. Right?
Yes.
But that isn't, yes. It isn't so easy.
It sounds
easy. Yeah. It's not the real easy route.
But then all the consequences come in and then it's not so easy.
No, it's not.
It looks easy.
Yeah. It tries to lure you in that way.
Right.
Okay. I'm almost done. Matthew 7. Now, if this doesn't stick you a little bit, what's wrong?
I can't see you.
Oh.
I can't hear you if I can't see you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
All right. Matthew 7, verse 21. This is a killer kind of verse. Because this is coming from the mouth of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
What? What?
Whoa.
Hold on. Hold on. That's not me, is it? That's not you, is it? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now, I'm going to talk about the rest of that verse next week. You're not getting out of the rest of that. You're going to hear the rest of that. I've got to hear the rest of that. Because those words came out of the mouth of Jesus himself. They weren't just said to scare people. There's something there for us to learn from and to deepen in our relationship with God with. You hear this? Okay. Next week also I'm going to be talking about Matthew chapter 13. That whole thing that deals with the seed that's put in and some are thorns. That's all about the kingdom. It's not talking about salvation. That's not about salvation. Matthew chapter 13. It's about the kingdom. Anyone who hears the word of the kingdom and so on and so forth. You can be saved and not really understand the word of the kingdom because of the different things that chapter 13 tells you about. So, we're going to finish today. I'm on the last scripture now. So, everybody wake up. Matthew 24:14. Nobody was sleeping. I'm just being funny. Matthew 24:14, again, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached into all the world for a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. And I mentioned earlier that this is end time, this is an end time revival that is going to happen. Now, I saved it for right here because one of the things that I said after that was the fact that, you know, in order to see the kingdom of God, experience the kingdom of God, move into the kingdom of God, you've got to be born again first.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
People need to be born again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they have the ability to hear, understand, and move and experience the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Yes.
So if there's going to be, right before Jesus comes back, a great presentation of the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom of the, you know, the gospel of the kingdom must be preached into all the world, and then the end comes. Well, if there's, the gospel of the kingdom is the emphasis there at the end, that means there's must have been a pretty big revival that happened before that. Because you can't hear the gospel of the kingdom unless you've heard the gospel of salvation.
Right.
So to me, it looks like there's going to be a pretty big revival that's going to happen so that the gospel of the kingdom can also be preached out.
Yes.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I am so excited and looking forward to this great revival, this salvation experience for many, many people. But God doesn't want any of those people necessarily, some will choose, but to just, that's all they get. He wants disciples that feel the call, take a hold of the call, and want to be used of God in that final harvest of people. Not only to bring them to a salvation experience, but to bring them to be disciples.
Yes.
To make disciples,
yes,
of the nations.
Yes.
And then the end is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we got this, we have this to happen, don't we?
Yes.
That's going to happen.
Yes.
And we can choose by our daily choices from now on whether we want to move in that direction or not. Isn't that right?
Yes.
What a great calling.
Yes.
End time harvest.
Amen.
For not only salvation, but to bring them further along and that they hear the gospel of the kingdom. Of Jesus residing in their heart, and for people to want to live a life that's pleasing unto God.
Amen.
Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
That's what God wants, isn't it?
Yes.
But we have to be there first.
There we go.
But God will help us along, won't He? Because we can't do it ourselves.
Whether we're 60 or 70 or 80 or 90.
It doesn't matter how old, right?
No.
It doesn't matter. Wherever we are right now in age, God redeems the time if you want it.
Yeah. Yes.
If you want it, right? So Lord, I just pray that all of us here will be used in this great end time harvest.
Yes.
That we would give ourselves over to being disciples of yours in a greater measure than before, so that we can truly have the light to bring light to other people. Lord, I love you. We love you.
Yes.
We want to serve you, Lord. This is your plan. This is what you've talked about. Lord, help us to understand the gospel of the kingdom, that we might be able to share that with others in the days ahead.
Yes.
You're a good, good Father. Thank you, Father, for giving us all of this, and that you want us to be partakers and partake in your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.